It's what we do, baby!
This is Race Wars. Race
Wars. I have the power!
Yeah! How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch!
Race Wars.
Welcome to Race Wars, baby. Back in the building. It's a lot of broads in here today. I don't know what day of quarantine. 96 or 7? I don't remember. White daughter, how you doing?
Day 10,000 of quarantine. I'm thriving. As you can see, I'm pink as a salamander.
You are pinker than ever. Jesus
Christ. I'm pinker than ever. I'm sitting here, whitely, in my home, trying to support people who are not the same color as me.
Black Lives Matter.
It's been a journey. Yes, Black Lives do matter. We know that they do. Yes, they do. Yeah. It's been crazy. Are you guys in New York, the rest of you?
Let's introduce everybody first. Let's start with Alice.
Hey guys, Alice Vaughn, co-host of the Two Girls on Mic Porncast and Offensive Crayons creator. But no, I am not in New York City at the moment. I am I'm a rich bitch at my lake house. So.
There you go.
You and Sherrod.
She made that money.
You gotta save your money. You gotta make smart purchases.
Yep.
And I'm Yvette D'Entrema. I run SciBabe.com. I'm a science writer, and I'm also the co-host of Two Girls, One Mic, the Porncast, and I'm in an attic in Los Angeles.
You guys nice. Get richer and richer.
Kristen?
Hi, Kristen Davis, former Manhattan Madam PR director for the infamous Roger Stone.
Yes,
and
love
I'm
him.
In this a on here. I know. It's been a hectic day for us today also.
Yeah, now, how do you go from being the Manhattan Madam to the PR for Roger Stone? Did that world cross at some point?
Well, I was arrested in 2008 in connection with this Elliot Spitzer scandal, and yeah. Roger was Elliot Spitzer's arch nemesis. Mm-hmm. So he approached me on my book tour and asked me if I would run for office, and I thought he was crazy, and he lobbied me for almost a year, and I finally agreed, and then we just became friends, and he saw how competent I was. I mean, my background's actually finance. I was vice president of a hedge fund for a decade before starting my agency. So, I do all his PR.
You know where to find that money, from hedge fund to...
I do. The hedge fund guys go to escorts, so it seems like a logical progression at some point.
Yeah, nice. Client number 9, right? That was Elliot was client number 9?
He was client number 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
Busy man. Busy man.
Well, a man got to stay busy. When you win office, you want to celebrate.
I don't think he was getting any for free. I mean, it's just
He was paying. He was paying for it.
He had to pay.
Why was he blacklisted? Is this like an obvious part of the story that I missed?
It is, but.
Spill the tea, girl. Spill it.
He was violent. He liked to do things unsafe, unprotected, and he would always call me under different names, and I would catch him at some point. It would catch up with him, or the girls would say, hey, that's that guy, you blacklisted him, and I just couldn't keep up with his demand for women.
Wow. Wait. So Jesus. Elliot Spitzer had a high demand for women, and he was, violent with the girls? I didn't hear that. I knew Marv Albert.
This is breaking.
They don't call him the steamroller because he's nice. You know, that's his nickname everywhere. And that's his personality is he's just enrolled, and he's just very aggressive. And I ran a very pro-women agency where it was high dollar. I encouraged the girls to set boundaries. So when I started getting complaints, I'm like, okay, your little $2,000 isn't worth all of these complaints.
Was he your typical daddy's rich little son that came in there and act like they owned the world because he got a rich parent and a rich daddy?
Yes, born with a silver spoon. I can treat you however I want, and that's exactly his personality in life.
And it caught up to him.
It certainly did. But did it really hurt him because he resigned, right? A scandal. But then he went on to make a lot of money as a CNN host. And so
he was going to make money because he's still white. So he's going to make money.
Privilege.
Rich people going to still be rich. That's not going to stop happening.
Remember Richard Quest, the reporter on CNN, got caught in Central Park jerking off, choking himself with cocaine in his pocket. They for a couple weeks, and he kept his job at CNN.
Wasn't hurting anyone.
But let me
accept himself consensually.
Off in Central Park, I'll get shot.
Yeah. And my ratings go up.
I have a friend, Sherrod, that you know, who
have a designated white girl jerking you off and choking you, and then you'll be fine.
I have a friend who has a theory that all guys who commit suicide by hanging are actually jerking off. Every time there's like a celebrity who dies by hanging, she's like jerking off.
You think Robin Williams?
Jerking off. Everybody's gotta come. If you are, if you're rich enough and famous enough, you have enough access that you're just bored with all your options. Like you've just been there, done that, got the t-shirt. No one's asshole is like exciting to you anymore. It's time to try some new shit. And that's,
I tried the chokey. I tried a little chokey with a belt to see what all the fuss was about.
And?
Yes, a little. But best I was like, this is nothing for me. It's just really? Not
my thing. Also, you need someone who's competent to choke you, because
you need like
I
a timer on that.
And guess what? Yeah. Everybody can be taught. It's not rocket science, is it, ladies?
You said taught, like a rope.
Taught. I said taught. Yeah, choking.
Choking should be on the side of the neck, not on the front.
Exactly.
There is your anatomy lesson for the day. You should do a blood choke where you just subtly cut off the blood flow, because that gives you a slight little hive. Indeed. Do not press on the front of the throat. Just cut. Yeah. Just press on the sides and kind of alleviate that pressure every so often, but it gives people a nice little high from that slight. But here's the thing. The worst that will happen is someone will pass out for a second and you'll go, ah, and you'll let go and they're fine. So go to a class before you do that.
Absolute delight. It's an absolute, you know, someone did it to me once by accident and I like came to. It was, he like wasn't trying to do it. He's trying to like lightly choke me.
It was on a subway.
To be sexy. And then
that's like a normal day on the A-train.
And I didn't realize, and I woke up like a second later, like wasn't like a violent choking or anything. And I was like, holy shit. First of all, it was the best ever. It was so intimate and intense and weird and fun and like felt nice. Okay. And he was the most unteachable person. Like he never did it again. He would just like just the worst way. I was like trying to gently correct him and Wikipedia the situation, and just he was unteachable.
That's the
I
first
thought
time
you were
going
to go
heard.
With like he was a Rain Man of choking. I was hoping you were going in that direction.
We were all hoping we were going in that direction.
He could do nothing else but man, you could
choke the sides and not the front. Because even when I was choking myself, I was going all front.
No, you can't. Look, when you
press all the sides,
don't be stupid.
Don't Epstein
I'm
yourself.
I'm all the sun. I don't know.
No.
It's like taking a pulse. So, you take a pulse here. You don't take your pulse here.
Yeah.
How big was this escort business when it was on and popping, when it was on at its peak?
I had about 120 women,
apartments
in five cities. I mean, we were making millions of dollars a year. I had apartments in five cities. I had an overseas call center. I mean, I ran it much like I would a normal business.
Right. And you had all the clients from the hedge fund days?
I had many hedge fund clients. Those guys spent a lot of money. And a lot of those calls were not, they were party calls. So they weren't sexual in nature. They were just, you know, hedge fund guys who every Monday they started doing coke and their friends left about midnight. And at midnight, they're like, well, I'm not done until the drugs run out. That could be 36 hours later. Who can come over? Oh, and, you know, a few women later and $40,000 at my agency, and I consider that a really good day.
That is a really good day.
Part of the day.
Why is this illegal?
Yeah.
I think it's always politics, right? So I was arrested in conjunction with a governor. He was hated by Republicans, and they always need a scapegoat.
Pataki? So, what governor?
Elliot Spitzer.
Spitzer. Oh, that's Spitzer. Okay, Spitzer was hated. I get it. So that's when they took you down after he got busted on that.
Well, it's an interesting story because Roger Stone was paid by the head of the Senate at that time, who was a Republican, Senator Joe Bruno, to investigate Elliot Spitzer, right? So here you've got this war going on. And Roger Stone learned that, you know, in his younger years, he was going around to swingers clubs, and this was his thing. And he learned at a swingers club from a woman he met that Spitzer used agencies, did some investigating, started trying to turn him in, right? Because this is all politics. We're going after our enemies. And I was just the casualties of that war.
Right. So do you think you'll spark it back up? Do you see people have like the same business you used to have and you go like this, that's what I did?
You know, I haven't seen many people since me that have been able to make as much money, because I was into automation and had all these different cities, because I realized, oh, this girl's going to tap out in this market at some point, so I got to send her five other places to keep her happy. And plus, a lot of times they're run, those agencies are run by men, and men are not like fun or understanding to work for.
We really
are. I have to say that industry was 10 times more honest than working for people in politics now.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Amen. I'm sure it's more honest than comedy as well. Now, where did you find the girls?
I went out and found them. I went to those New York model and bottles parties, and I just hit on all the girls I wanted to work for me. And I really did. I considered it like, it was like almost dating them, because some of them would, most of them were all new to the industry. They were established models, and I would have to really woo them. I would take them to lunch and dinner and buy them things and develop this relationship. And then eventually they would come work for me.
Wow. Now, what was
You want to go shopping? Okay, let's go.
What would be your advice then for men who are trying to pick up women, like a regular guy trying to pick up a girl from your experience picking up women?
I don't know, because mine was all money-based, so I was willing
to make it worth their while.
So be rich is advice number one.
I'd like to think that that isn't always necessary, but you're showing them what you're bringing to the table, and I think that's kind of important in today's dating world, to sort of make them feel like they're the commodity. And that's how I ran my agency. That's why Elliot Spitzer never really got appointments, because he would call and be so rude on the phone, and I'd go, no, you're lucky if I send you someone.
Right.
And I didn't want to put my girls in like precarious situations where I sent them to jerks who were abusive. That's not a good way to keep employees, obviously.
Right.
So
he was abusive, like hitting?
He was into choking. He was into trying to force them to do things unprotected. And that's clearly not something any woman wants to do, especially with someone like him. So I would just get complaints, like, and I would have women leave and just be like, I couldn't handle him. I had to leave.
I mean, he's so not hot enough to get away with that. How hot you have to be rude and violent. I mean, you can do it, but yeah, rich is not enough. You're right about that.
He wants to go with raw dog. Ain't it like an extra $150 to get raw dog? Why they don't pay the extra $150?
What are these street prices? She's high end.
Okay, so they were $1,000 or more an hour. And if you want, I ran a very vanilla agency, right? It was these tall, pretty, slender, or all American type of women.
White.
Because
someone had to say it.
There were agencies specializing in different ethnic groups, and they had the market on that. And even though I tried to hire different types, it really, like, I didn't have the right advertising for it.
Right.
So I forgot where we were.
But he was like, he would be violent to the girls, and
So if you wanted something extra, right? Like, let's say you
wanted if you wanted raw dog.
No, that I didn't upcharge for, because I can't force a woman to do that. That's
right, but did some girls do it?
I didn't want you to do that.
But did some girls do it? Do you have any girls that might do it behind your back and charge for that? And he might think that all the girls might do it?
I had one girl that I suspected, yes.
Was it Champagne Rodriguez? I knew her.
No, I told her, you can't do that, because you're setting a bad precedent for other girls behind you.
Right, that's right. I'm sure he came across a girl who did say, hey, give me extra this and I'll do it.
Because he saw somebody else who told him that she did that, so I had to question her, but it's not something I would have promoted. Right. And even if you wanted like a light, let's say you wanted a light choking, I would be like, okay, that's another $3,000, because I'm a vanilla agency. Anything else? Now we're talking, I have to find that right girl.
If I'm paying $3,000, ain't going to be no light
choking. My girls would be like, what? You want me to choke someone? Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't want to do that.
Experience.
No, it's the best.
And was he also into yellow fucking showers?
Golden showers.
Trod, grow up.
My bad. I'm more into the chick
so.
You're scatological.
There we go.
Ooh,
you just made a move.
Oh.
But he wasn't into that. He wasn't into the golden showers.
Yeah.
It was pretty vanilla.
Yeah, that's all right.
Vanilla, yeah. And do you
I had one person call and ask if they could punch the girl in the face. And I was like, well, how hard? Like, how hard do you want to punch her? Like, I can't give you a price because now I'm going to have to go and call five women, and that's what they're going to ask me. Is like
yeah.
Because you can light work bruising? A light slap.
Minimal bruising? Oh, no, no, no.
But like a punch.
No, I want to like a nice punch. And I was like, okay, it's going to be like $15,000.
And what time does you get over there?
See, I would wonder, I would say, I would ask my girls, I'd be like, hey, you know that nose job you were talking about getting?
Well, I just went around and I was like, okay, who wants this call? I have this call. This is what he wants. You guys tell me.
Security that's outside like the Babysitter's Club, but
how much money would this cost? How much on average would that go for? Oh my
God! I mean, I only had one of those calls, so I told him 15 grand. That's how much I charged him. 15.
15
for about 2 hours. 15 grand.
Wait, did someone take the
what?
Call?
All you bitches that get punched in the face for 15 grand.
No.
You're not the woman I thought you were.
That takes a special girl.
I am very high priced.
Right, Ellis, were she low on money, might take it, but she is not low on money for a good reason.
Yes, but
she doesn't like want to get punched in the face for it.
Well, 15 grand for 2 hours and you get hit, what, one time?
One punch.
Wow.
I would do that.
See, my business model's all wrong. I'll either fall in love with you and fuck you for free, or it'll cost you $10 billion. There is no in between.
You don't know how to run that business.
I feel like it's not averaging how I want.
Now, where are you now, Kristen? Are you in New York? Or?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I came here a few months ago to finish raising money for Roger Stone's Legal Defense Fund.
Wow. Oh, that's right. He was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he's like, what, June 30th, he's got to go back in?
Yeah, and he filed an emergency motion yesterday with the judge to get a 60-day extension because I mean, what kind of person would sentence him to a prison right now in the middle of a pandemic?
A white man.
He's 67.
A white man would do it.
It was a white woman.
Well, you know, I'm saying the judge.
Equality. Oh,
the right, judge right. Was a woman, that's right.
Yep. It was a white woman.
But she really did not like him. She, you know, because he was talking at the beginning of it, and she did. But they did send, like, fucking the SWAT team to go get him.
Listen, just to provide a different perspective, right? I was sentenced by a Puerto Rican judge appointed by Obama. And do you know what he said to me when he sentenced me? He said, Ms. Davis, I see many Black and Latinos in my courtroom. They grew up without the opportunities that you had, right? Well, but I didn't grow up with money. I just worked hard to go to college, right? Right. But he said, you have a college degree. You have a finance background. You don't deserve a second chance. They deserve a second chance because they don't have parents and people who love them. You don't. So where I could give you probation, you're getting 2 years.
Wow.
So you spent 2 years, you went?
Did. I went to prison.
Wow.
And I was in an ICE facility, right? An ICE facility. What? So you want to talk about being the minority and being put in dangerous position, right? There's like 4% Caucasian women at the prison I was in. 1,100 women, 4% were white.
That's the episode of Orange is the New Black I want to see.
I want to, I am down to see that.
It wasn't a camp. I was in a medium. I was behind the gate. I was not in a camp. I was with like the Mexican mafia, all of the like real
Spanish. I was about to say, I'll read that book if you write it, but have you written that book already?
I have not.
What's the craziest story you have from jail?
Who touched that coochie now? Who came in your cell and touched that coochie without your permission?
Whose wife are you or who's your wife?
Right.
The expectation you miss is each that other? Most women turn gay for this day, right? That's the expectation in a women's prison. I think my most interesting story is that I'm not interested in women at all. So there's a small portion of us that were super just straight and whatever. But you walk into the prison and they're all coming to the housing unit windows to check out the fresh meat. So
fresh
they walk
fish.
You around to the
fresh
housing,
fish.
To your housing, and they're all like, oh, I like that girl, I like that girl. And then later, they're all trying to find you to see, do you like women? Are you switching? Like, it's just a very different, and then you see these prison families, right? Which is very strange and fascinating. Where the women who came in looking like, you know, women, they instantly morph and the look is to pull your hair back and to braid it. And now you've become the male figure in this society. And they have children and families. I mean, it's and the biggest form of violence there is domestic violence. So they're all beating each other up. I saw one girl tell her girlfriend, like, hey, go to the hair room. I want to talk to you. Got her in the hair room. I was coming into my housing unit and started beating her with a hair dryer. Busted out her two teeth. Then the next weekend, I saw her in the visiting room with her husband and her two children, missing her feet, teeth, two teeth, and a black eye. I was like...
Because her prison husband beat her up?
Yes. Man. I was like, how do you explain that to your husband?
I mean, was she being...
Your husband helped her.
The husband was also missing a tooth because he just got out 2 months ago.
The prison husband was cheating, and she confronted the other girlfriend. And so the prison husband beat her up for the confrontation.
Oh, yeah, that's why they try to. That's why they try to, you know, not allow these sexual relationships in prison, because they lead to most of the violence in female prison.
Right.
Yeah. No shit.
Because you know how these bitches are. Y'all some jealous bitches.
Female drama will fucking kill you.
Wow. And because the expectation is that you turn gay for this day, anything that we consider just being polite is considered a come on. So if I open the door for you, you just think that I hit on you.
Wow.
So you have to learn to like totally not be nice in any way.
It's like somebody sneezes, you say, God bless you. It's like, we dating now, bitch.
It is. It is. Somebody told me, oh, I have a girlfriend because I said, oh, I'll hold the door for you. And they were like, I have a girlfriend. Okay, well, I'm just holding the door, like being nice. Sorry, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's prison shit.
Right, I'm not super prisony yet, so this is just what people do.
when you first got in there, did you think somebody's gonna come after you and try to just take that cooch?
No.
Come on now, you know
I would have defended myself.
No, you're tough.
Razor blade and buck 50 in your face if you don't comply.
I think there's a market for prison Tinder.
There you go. I did some time in Rikers Island before going in there, and there's nothing as bad as that. Like, you cannot shock me at this point in time.
Yeah, Rikers was brutal. How long were you there?
I was in solitary there for 4 months.
Oh my God.
Is that your whole stay was all in solitary? Or were you were?
I mean, can't black teenagers have nothing without white people taking it away? That's our thing.
Took away Brooklyn.
That's right.
Now
that is totally right.
Appropriator.
So how long were you actually in there for?
Was you're that gentrifying solitary.
I was in Rikers Island.
There's already a Starbucks in
facility.
It.
That's right. Uh-huh. For 4 months, and then a prison, a medium for a year, and then a halfway house as the final part of my sentence for 6 months.
Was any part of it actually like corrective or rehabilitative? No. There's no corrections, right? Like there's no corrections.
It's just, we're going to put you in this hole for a while to make you feel bad about what you did.
When I was locked up, I took up macrame.
I see you as more of an origami man.
With his face, they kill me in there.
Yeah.
But
they feed you on like $1.80 a day. So the whole system is meant to have numbers because that's how they get their money. The more numbers they have, the more money they get.
It's sick. It's a sick system that feeds off of people. It's gross. So when you finally got out, who met you at the jail? Who was your real, and who kept contact with you while you was locked up? Did you see who were your real friends and who was just pieces of shit?
Yep. My mom, Lainey Spicer.
We love Lainey.
Sent me books. Roger Stone. Those are basically the three things. Yep. Roger didn't communicate as much. He just sent money to my account.
He's perfect.
Did any of the girls, any of those girls contact you?
A handful. Hmm. Out of 120.
Did it hurt? It had to hurt.
I probably had employed over 600 women over the course of 5 years. So maybe 3 or 4 contacted me since then.
Wow,
that had to hurt because I know you do grow relationships with people when you know come in contact, when you're working with them, when you're trying to do the best for them, you're looking out for their safety as well. So it had to hurt when they didn't reach out, right?
Well, but you know, but people will just jump ship.
Yeah, people are flighty like that, and they only think about themselves. It was okay. I understood their reason.
Right. I mean, especially in the sex work industry, I get it.
What do you mean you get it, Alice?
Know what do you mean?
What do you mean you get it? You like people just get cold and just drop tides real fast?
Well, no. I mean, in that specific industry, it just seems like you are more out for yourself as opposed to other industries. That's what it seems like, at least to me. I could be wrong.
That's a good point.
I actually think some of the women that I met and some of the porn stars that I've now met since then are nicer than the people I meet working for Roger. Some of the let's say even right now, because his star is so big, everybody I meet is a clout chaser. And I'm like mortified every day. There's like zero shred of follow through, integrity, or anything like that. People saying and promising the world and literally don't mean it at all.
At all. It's just a hustle.
Yeah. Empty promises in politics? No. Never.
It's to raise money, promise to help, and like the next day I follow up and they're going around, I'm doing this and that and this and that, and there's like literally done nothing to help.
So what did Roger want you to run for? Like what office was he?
Well, we ran for governor of New York. Okay. I debated Andrew Cuomo in a live debate in front of 3,000 people.
Nice. I had a fist fight with Chris Cuomo, but I don't want to talk about it.
Did you?
No.
Chris Cuomo really doesn't want to talk about it.
Cuomo's wife
has
was
that
there
face
to-
because of it.
Chris Cuomo's wife was there to give him a bleach bath afterwards and put some healing salts on him.
I love Chris
Cuomo. So how was the debate? Was the debate tight? Was it on TV? What happened?
It was on TV. It was fun and scary. And
who did you wear?
A pantsuit. I downplayed everything clearly.
Oh, baby. Tell me
the thing about Roger. Roger told me when he tried to convince me to run, I'm going to get you in the debate. So he's telling me this in 2008, 2 years before we actually ran. And he had it all planned in his mind. And I'm like, how are you going to do that? And he's like, I have no idea, but I will do it. And he literally made everything happen by finding other people to fund the campaign, to get them to take out radio ads, forcing people to put me in the debates. And I mean, it was fascinating to watch him do this. He is a genius. And his ability to think about something 2 years in advance and to know how to strategize it to make it happen is just amazing. I've seen him do it.
He knows where all the strings and the levers are in DC in politics.
He comes from the school of Nixon and fucking Roy Cohn. Roy Cohn was his bully who got him all into all this.
He's like a magic little politics elf. Gets right in there.
That's right.
I mean, that's he is that size.
Yeah, dear friend of the show. I think that Roger Stone is one of those like once in a generation people that we don't have now. Like he's a guy that they used to make.
There's going to be another one that will. Here's the thing. You don't know who Roger Stone is the beginning of his career. You don't know who he is when he's working on Watergate. You know who he is 40 years later. So whoever the Roger Stone 40 years is right now, we don't know who he is.
And when
I keep writing my books about working for him.
Yeah.
It's like Forrest Gump. It's like you see old pictures and it's like, oh, he's right next to Kennedy.
Yeah, it's like he's been there for the last 40 some odd years just twisting the knobs on history. And that fascinates me. My only Roger Stone story is I met him at a political convention and I did drugs with him. So
did you?
What kind of drugs? The good ones?
I did drugs. It just sounds way better to say I did drugs with Roger Stone. We got high together. So but I look forward to doing it again because we didn't have enough time together.
Sherrard though, like her husband is a Heisenberg of pot. So like don't boo it.
But when somebody tell me a drug story, it better be coke, heroin.
I have 99.9% pure THCA crystals.
Ooh, and that's amazing. That was my birthday.
When next you're in LA, come. We'll have a socially distant pot smoke. We'll just come hang out.
Well, next year we probably won't have to distance anymore, right?
Right. Yeah, it's more than likely.
Guys, we don't freaking know. Look at all of us sequestered right now. We have no freaking idea.
Yeah.
Apparently, they just did successful animal trials in Israel, but that means we're still like a year out.
The good news.
Vaccine.
So the main thing I do is debunk COVID myths, and I do a weekly live cast that's just here's this week in COVID, so I can update you on what's happening. So we've got about 5 vaccines that are in phase 2 trials right now. We have, I believe, 2 that are going to, and this is insane, phase 3 trials in July. So this coming month,
easy,
and So phase one trials is like you put it into eight humans. Like we're like, all right, it seems to be safe and effective in animals. So they try it in like eight humans. Right. Phase two, 600 humans, give or take. And phase three is when they put it into 3,000 to 10,000 humans. And as long as it seems safe and effective in those 10,000 humans, they're like, all right, we have to do still post-market monitoring, but this is where we're going on forward with it. And here's the thing about the ones that are going into phase three right now. The pharmaceutical companies, and I believe one of them is through Oxford University, they have made they've already made contracts with places that are manufacturing these vaccines that they've said, all right, if these don't work out, we want you to start manufacturing them, but we're just going to take the loss if they don't work, because they have, number one, that much confidence in them, and number two, they know that we need these manufactured ASAP. So I sincerely, and I am a harbinger of doom on this. I have been just telling people the sky is falling nonstop for months, and I will tell you all the bad things about this, but I am very confident that one of these vaccines will work out, and we will have at least something starting to be distributed by the beginning of next year. So that's good news.
You know what? I've been hearing stuff.
Next year feels a long time away.
Yeah, I know. It feels a long time away, but you know what? Like,
September, not October.
We might have something that is done being researched by September. So I look at it and go, look, if you are someone who's immunocompromised, you're high risk, you live with people who are high risk, do what you can to keep socially distancing. Like, we don't know. Here's the craziest thing that I read yesterday, a study that just came out that was published in Nature, that 40% of people who are asymptomatic after 3 months, they have no antibodies.
Yeah.
Who originally had antibodies.
Herd immunity thing is bullshit.
So, I mean, and then here's the other thing is people who were very symptomatic after 3 months, 13% of those people had no antibodies. So it's this is something that we're going to have to vaccinate for once we have a vaccine, just to keep people's immunity
like
up to it.
It's going to be like the flu vaccine.
The one thing is there's a difference between why we'll have to keep vaccinating for this one regularly versus the flu. The reason for the flu vaccine using it regularly is that the flu mutates. This is that our body just loses its immunity to it. We just kind of, our body's like, I forgot. So we're going to have to just keep getting that vaccine things we need a booster just because your body's like, I forgot. Our body's going to get very forgetful about it, and we're going to have to get regular boosters. But it looks like we're going to be able to get this under control. It sucks. I get it. Everything wicked fucking sucks right now.
I'm looking at the year. This is going to be a 2021 thing.
But the good news is it's coming. And I know there are a lot of people who are like, I'm not getting the vaccine no matter what. I'm like, good, I can get in line before you.
Yeah.
My only concern is when they testing this vaccine on people, are they getting them from Tuskegee?
No, these are people who all volunteered.
I don't trust all this testing, white man testing.
I don't blame you.
We volunteered Tuskegee.
I tried to fucking volunteer for this one. I was like, please inject me. Now, the thing that they're doing during these phases of the trial is figuring out what the dosage is. Are there any populations and any conditions for which there are contraindications, that kind of thing. So like they found early on that they were getting antibodies, but there were some dosages at which they were getting kind of a fever out of people. So, you know, you do want an immune reaction, but you also don't want too much of an immune reaction. So
every vaccine produces an immune reaction.
Yeah.
Some people who get vaccinated for chickenpox or whatever
mild. Yeah, mildly
gassy. It got me real gassy when I got my chickenpox.
That could have been a burrito.
Yeah.
But you know, here's the thing. There is like everything kind of sucks right now. I feel like I spend my weekly like hourly live stream on this, just telling people, I'm sorry, this sucks. There's good news eventually. So that's the whole thing with this. We're going to be wrong about everything a lot, and we're eventually going to get it right.
So let me ask you this. What do you think? So right now people are over it. Like, I know you're not in New York, right?
I'm in LA. Yeah.
You're in LA. In New York, probably also in LA, but definitely New York, where we all live on top of each other. People are over it. We effort social distancing. Like, people are still paying it lip service. Like, you don't go into a store without a mask. That people will tell you to leave. That's crazy. But like, I've had dates, you know, with people that I don't know, where I talk this close together. And to be honest, I'm like a pretty conscientious person. If I'm getting over it, I'm like this little canary. People are fed up. So what happens then? Is just going to be wave after wave?
So I think here's what's going to happen. So New York has the highest rate of, from serological studies, the highest rate of antibodies. So the most people who have gotten it so far in the country. And at high estimates, it's about 25% of New York City has gotten it. So that means you're still open for 2 to 3 more waves of this. Wow. Yay, there are going to be more mass graves in Central Park. It's, well, here's the thing, that depends on the government. Like, we don't, like, the virus is going to do what it's going to do, and governments have to make the decisions on what are we going to, like, people have to make decisions to stay home at some point when people are just not staying home because they don't see how bad it is in the hospital. Right. Governments have to make a choice to go, all right, we need to do this for the good of everyone. And I'm not in favor of tyranny and people being like, you have to stay home, martial law, but like, at some point when the hospitals literally cannot keep up with this, they do have to do a, you know, at least a short lockdown. Because I think what we're seeing, especially in states like Florida, Texas, Arizona, we are going to see ICUs filling up, and people are going to, people who could have survived otherwise, who just can't get to an ICU bed, are going to die. And doctors will have to sit there and go, wow, I don't know, which do I give the ventilator to the 60-year-old doctor who's sick, or do I give it to the 20-year-old who is out partying?
But we also have had such conflicting information. Like, I've heard about hospital beds that have gone unoccupied, and people are having a hard time figuring out what's real and what's not, especially because the media, it feels like the media betrays us every day. It's interesting now that we are kind of locked down, we have actually more access to what's going on in our immediate areas, and what the news says is different than what I see with my own eyes. Like, if you watch the news, they're saying New York is on fire, there's riots, it's anarchy. No, there isn't. I live here. I see the protests go by every day. It's not anarchy. It's peaceful. You know how many people have asked me, like, is the whole city on fire? People aren't trusting what the news is telling them anymore, and yet a lot of us don't have other sources of information.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have major contention with the way that COVID has been reported. So that's kind of why I do, like, I'm like, I've stopped. I only write at Self Magazine for my professional place that I write for. But I basically, I'm like, no, I'm going to talk directly to my audience on this, because I don't want them to think that what I'm saying is being influenced by anywhere. But like, it's so hard to, like, you see a headline saying, new strain of coronavirus is more contagious, and you panic, right? Because it's like, oh, fuck, we're dead. The airborne death is coming for all of us next week. And what happened was they found one spike protein that suggests that we're seeing slightly more of in certain areas of the population, and they think might have made it slightly more contagious. Right. And like, there's no, like, this reporting drives people like me, who are very precise with their science reporting, abso-fuck-lutely nuts. And I don't know what to do with, like, I sitting there and trying to tell people all the things that are right. I still have people asking me if ibuprofen is safe to use because of that rumor from the first, and ibuprofen's perfectly safe. It's fine. But good. Like,
I snorted some. I got scanned for a second. I snorted 2 rails.
It's fine. Do your rails a bit. There are way more fun drugs to do in rail form, but I'm just saying. But yeah, we'll get one piece of poorly communicated information out from the WHO or CDC, and it'll be something that is partially true, or just they communicated it in a way that a scientist would understand and go, I get what you were trying to say. And a headline writer will go, oh, I know how to get people to click on that. And it'll make all of us go, what are you doing? Why did you say it? And it's like, I see what, like, how hard should someone like you, who's smart but not trained in science, how hard should you have to work to understand what's going on during a fucking pandemic? You should be able to look at a headline, look at an article, and go, okay, I get what happened here, and move on with your life, and just know what you should have to do with precautions. And I hate that that's not the case. So,
well, I'm confused, though. I just blame Russia. They meddled.
So what I'm saying is, tune into my live streams 5 p.m. PST on scibabe.com/live.
Isn't it so funny that the fake news thing that everybody was like, the news isn't fake, he shouldn't be saying fake news, turned out to be 100% true. It is, whether you're on the right or the left, the news is fake news.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, everyone has to admit. See, nobody likes
it. Search for it. Like music.
It, but no, you
it's
have like to.
Music. You really want to find good music? You got to search for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go places where you know. You got to talk to people who know good music, just like news, who you trust.
And it's like, I don't even tell people certain outlets that they have to trust. I tell people certain journalists at those outlets that I'm like, these are the ones that do their work on this. Like I don't tell people go to BuzzFeed for their science. I tell people here is one specific science journalist at BuzzFeed that I love that does her fucking work. And it's like, that's
no good news out there. Your next question should be, who's your favorite journalist? And I bet you they don't have one.
Yep. They'll name the one person that they
news in the wrong places, money.
Walter Cronkite.
Like, who's your favorite journalist? Like,
who's a good person to follow?
And usually, if you stick with the same people, just like with sports people, you stick with the people who you trust their opinions on this shit.
Yeah.
It's like, if you just jumping around getting news from here, news from there, news from there, that shit is always going to be garbage.
Who's your favorite COVID reporter?
There are three that I will recommend. Marin McKenna, Tara Hale, and Stephanie M. Lee. They all report all over the place, but they're easy to find over it on Twitter. And
I think I heard somebody talking about it, a journalist talking about it. I think it was on The Daily. I'm trying to remember where I heard it, but they're talking, giving reports. And I think she might have been from Jersey, though. I forget her name.
There's also, I forget his name, but he's on The Daily who does like the regular like coronavirus. Like he's always, he's done all of their reporting on pandemics, and he's brilliant and has given me like so much. Like I wish I remembered his name, but every time he says something on pandemics, on how like on how this is going to go, he brings me comfort and brings me like, we've been here before. We're going to get through this again. Here's where we are.
It's like college shit is not panic. It's never like breaking news. I don't need breaking news in my face.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I try to like tell people, it's like, yeah, things are bad. Here's where we're going to go. And I mean, like people are, there were a couple of articles out about blood type and how that could affect your severity level of this. And people are like, what do I do with this information? I'm like, nothing. Yeah. You have to just keep socially distancing and washing your hands and wearing your mask. Like you can't.
I'm type
like,
A. They yeah. said type A.
What do I do with that? Nothing. Just keep washing your hands and wearing your mask and being a good member of society. Try to protect the people around you and try to protect yourself. You cannot change your blood type and it barely affects the. Just don't be like it. The main things you have to look out for are, do you have the big risk factors? Then maybe you should be a little more protective of yourself. If you are very high risk, think about, you know, holding up a little bit more. But other than that, don't freak out about the, you know, blood type things.
But here's the thing. I'm supposed to be in the thumb wrestling championships next week. Will it be canceled?
It's, you know,
I'm an Aquarius. What's gonna happen?
You know, Aquarius, you're fucked. But thumb wrestling, go for it.
Go for it. I can.
I'll miss you, Alice.
Of human gloves.
It's just, you know, gloves. Just, I think, just do it in a bucket of hand sanitizer, and the screaming from all the pain from finding all those little cuts you didn't know about. That's gonna make
it. It's like mud wrestling fight, but with thumbs and in hand sanitizer.
And like, whoever can manage to get through the pain from all the little cuts and still win, oh, you get extra money for that.
Is this on pay-per-view? I would totally pay for it.
I would watch thumb wrestling in hand sanitizer.
Okay, Elliot Spitzer wants to know if he can pay $20,000 for a hand sanitizer blowjob.
Oh my God. Would that hurt the dick more or the mouth more?
What's that?
Can we cut up his dick prior to putting on the hand sanitizer and lemon juice?
That would be karmic justice.
Would it hurt the dick or the mouth more to put the hand sanitizer on for that blowjob?
Everyone would lose. There are no winners.
Everyone's a loser because it's Evan Spitzer's dick.
Deep end. Right. That was the
best. From Watch What Happens Live.
Mm-hmm.
Aw. Just jumped in a pool. I'll explain later, daughter.
There is a porn parody that has something along the lines of like Elliot Spitz her.
Oh, for Elliot?
Or was it Elliot Splits her?
I think he has a chance to come back into politics, honestly.
He's so done. There's so many stories like this of like behind the scenes Elliot Spitzer stories. People don't like him on an individual.
Like, do you remember? Like, remember for 5 minutes, what's his face? Anthony Weiner tried to come back, and it was like, the groundhog came back out, and it was like, no!
Weiner,
no!
Bring in Sidney Leathers! Bring in Sidney!
He ran for New York City comptroller in 2013.
Right,
he threw about $10 million into the race in a 1 month time period trying to get the nomination, And even with that much money, he still couldn't take the nomination.
Because he is deeply unlikable.
He couldn't get the nomination with $10 million?
Deeply unlikable.
The public doesn't like him.
He couldn't even buy the nomination, basically.
Right. An individual.
He's running against a nobody, and myself, also, well, you know, because what, I was in that race. And
oh, you was in that race? You ran for comptroller that year, too?
I did. I was taken out of that race by Elliot Spitzer, basically.
Wow.
Well, they say
the media in New York was having a field day. The Madam and the John. The most exciting thing to happen to New York City politics in the last, like, 50 years.
Roger was behind that. Roger had to be behind that. Roger stole.
Roger. Well, no, we were already in the race. We didn't know. I mean, he jumped in 3 months later. I have no idea why.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, people do not like that guy. You know, Anthony Weiner.
And I think he was a good governor. I think as far as being a governor, I thought he was good. But as a human being, nobody liked him.
Nobody.
One of his first acts as governor in 2007 was to change the penalty for a man getting caught with an escort from a misdemeanor to a felony. But he got caught and had no charges, right? So let's talk the hypocrisy of Elliot Spitzer. He's a douchebag. He was a crappy governor. He literally illegally financed his campaign through bridge loans from his father. He is absolutely one of the most despicable human beings on the planet.
This just reminds me of every time when some politician is very anti-gay and is like, let's pass legislation to make the gay not be a thing.
He's got his boyfriend in another state with his family in the...
Why would you do something? Why?
What's his name? That's what Roy Cohn did that too. He was anti-gay in public, but he was a gay man.
Right.
He was in Studio 54. He represented the club owners of Studio 54. He was openly gay, but it wasn't open. And he was against, he always was pushing legislation against other gays.
You mean he was Lindsey Grahaming it, or I'm sorry, Lady G.
Lady G. Oh God, that trending hashtag gave me life.
I think I like Lady A more than Lady G, Antebellum.
Well, what does the A stand for? They didn't actually change it.
Antifa.
They just happened exactly the same.
They didn't change it to the A.
You know, Aunt Jemima's out. They just asked Jemima. Yeah, they were like, we can't make that not racist, so we're just gonna.
My advice is just to buy real maple syrup.
Nice.
For the twice a year that you make pancakes.
But I get my syrup from my actual Aunt Jemima. So how does she fend it all?
tell your actual Aunt Jemima to get real maple syrup.
I'll tell Uncle Benjamin at the next family reunion. Change black people names.
Yeah, they did away with it altogether. They were like, we would rather not sell this product than make it not racist.
Wait, did they get rid of the product altogether and not just change the name of it?
I might be shutting down. I'm not sure.
I mean, all it is just brown corn syrup. It's literally the same thing as clear corn syrup, just brown. Someone puts in food coloring.
And a little bit of imitation maple flavor. I believe it's 3% maple syrup imitation maple syrup.
We agree it's delicious.
Saving the earth, young ladies. What, you want to take all the maple out the trees? Cut all the trees down?
All you have to do is tap them. They live.
Yeah.
Who knew that Aunt Jemima was an environmentalist-friendly alternative?
Well, she lived in the woods, apparently. Didn't have a house to... But wait a minute. So how do y'all feel about Trump? And he was doing that the whole Tulsa thing. He had this rally there. Almost a day, 100 years after the day of the Black Wall Street got burnt down. Nobody ever charged. 300 black people died. 35 blocks of city blocks burnt down. Nobody ever charged with anything.
And to be sensitive, Trump moved his rally to one day later.
One day later. Yeah.
One day later.
So sensitive.
That was very sensitive of him.
Right. You know, what's crazy is that there was enough space in the stadium that if he just hypothetically said, we're going to be social distancing people, he could have just filled up the whole stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And made it seem like he sold out. He could have just done that one move, and publicity-wise, it would have been a win, but he didn't.
They could have just said, hey, like, beginning of it, they could have looked around, done a quick little, hey, we're going to be conscientious, and then just spun that. But no, there's no way Brad Parscale stays on as their campaign manager now, is there?
So.
Like, I just...
He was just a coffee boy, wasn't he?
That's how they'll spin it.
I mean, do you think he's going to win in November, Trump?
Every year, here's the thing. Every year, it's the economy, stupid, right? So if we'd been having this discussion 4 months ago before COVID, before gas prices were destroyed, I would have said, I don't know, probably Trump's going to win because the incumbent always has the advantage. The economy is on goddamn fire. No, I don't think Trump's going to win.
We haven't even felt it. Like, wait until unemployment runs out in August and wait till people really feel the squeeze. And that's when we can answer that question. I don't think we even know. And he's trailing in the polls or whatever, but we all know that polls are bullshit. We just had Roger Stone on here 2 weeks ago telling us that polls are bullshit. I believe that guy more than the polls. And we haven't even seen it yet. And if you're telling us, Yvette, that this isn't going until next year, which sounds about right, and I believe you and I believe your sources, then people are, just the same way that they wanted a big shakeup and change in 2016, people are already over COVID. They're over it. They want someone to like shepherd us through, not to get us more in.
Yeah.
Reaction has been lacking, to say the least. And it's not like a poor rich thing. It's not like a black white or a Republican Democrat thing. Like, we're all over it together as a nation.
I like how privileged America is, where after a certain period of time we could say, nah, this pandemic, we're over it.
There are 5,000 people dying a day. Fuck it.
Still? Yeah, but those people are in Florida. So are we really losing it?
Isn't it win? Is that here in the U.S. or is that globally?
No, people. I know people get rapid, like 2,000 a day in Florida, something like that. Now,
no, they're not.
Oh, no, the cases a couple days ago, I believe they had, in Texas, they had 6,000 new cases for like the highest they'd had before. Florida, it was like 5,500. Like California, we had our highest new day. Like, and here's the thing, it's along with that. Now, I know that the fatality numbers haven't gone up yet along with that, but the hospitalizations are starting to go up. So it's partially that we're testing more. Like, I got tested a couple weeks ago and just went online and requested a test. But now, requests for tests are going up so much because people are getting sicker, you can't just request a test unless you have symptoms anymore. So people are like, the actual illness numbers are going up with things opening, and with places just kind of taking all the breaks off, and with some places being like, you don't have to wear a mask, fuck everything. Things are getting way worse in places that are getting rid of all the rules. Like, we would be able to open up a little more and be a little more free with this if people would wear the masks, and if you want to go to a restaurant, at least have outdoor seating. But we're like, nah, freedom on every, like,
and it's scaring all the experts that this fucking second wave is coming this soon into the summer. We didn't expect this second wave to fall.
The worst part is this is like wave 1.5. Like, New York actually flattened their curve. Yeah. If you look at everywhere else in the country, like, we kind of like went a little down and then went right back up again. Like, we just kind of got tired of trying.
We got tired of having no money. People need to work. Like, sorry, you can't keep us behind doors for months and months. Right. And expect us to pay our rent. There has to be some sort of give and take. All the numbers we were told were inaccurate and skewed, so people stop believing the media, right? Here in Florida, we haven't had a death under the age of 65. Mm-hmm. So our cases have now gone up, right? But our testing has tripled. Okay, that's fine. But our hospitalization rate is pretty much at the same level right now because the age of the people testing positive is now like 32 years old, because all the young people got bored, wanted to go out as soon as everything opened. They're testing positive, but half of those people are asymptomatic, so they're not even needing to go to the hospital. They're not that sick, and as opposed to the age here, because Florida has all these retirees, right? But they've contained all of that in these homes. So from my perspective, I'm like, my county is one of the only two counties still in phase one here in Florida. The rest of the state is at phase two. I'm like, open us up. People need to work. I'm seeing all the businesses on the ocean. This is oceanfront property. They can't afford their rent, so they're closing. And this is a tourist
here too.
City. So how are these people? Like, I've had four people in my building move out in the last 6 weeks, moving back home to be with their parents. But yet they're in their 30s, and clearly, we've not had a death under 65, so why haven't we used our resources to protect the vulnerable and let, the healthy people who can sustain this? Because I'm under the impression that this was never about this was never really about doing away with the virus. It was about hospitalization and what capacity we could properly treat people and save lives there.
Well, the way that you protect people is you give them money. You are exactly right, Kristen. People need to work, and they're giving billions of dollars in bailouts to corporations who don't need it and are just going to use that money to pay off corporate debts, buy back their own stock. It's not trickle-down economics. Doesn't work. This isn't the time for that. They put $1,200 in people's pockets. They gave us $6,000 plus two in unemployment. That runs out, and people and this is me saying this. This is what I have, right? I have no kids. I have no responsibilities. Imagine if you had to feed another person who couldn't work. People need money. Give them money, and then the lockdown makes economic sense.
Yeah, and I mean,
starving.
It's like in Spain, they went over to a system where they're now doing UBI. And I don't look at America and go, we're going to get UBI forever after this. But Spain said, I would love it. But I look at America and go, I hope. But in Spain, they moved over to doing UBI permanently after this because they said, wow, this would work out for us given how well having the safety net helped us during this. And they're
and that's broke ass, siesta ass, not working a full day ass, Spain.
And I look at us,
work their asses off.
And it's like, and I look at us and I go, I know that this is a hard time to say, let's throw money at a thing. But there are three things that can make this thing all way easier. One, put a moratorium on rents and mortgages. I understand that there are people in the finance sector that are going, but my money. Yeah, everyone's broke right now. Two, give everyone $2,000 a month. I know a lot of money will figure, no one has ever cared about a deficit until you're talking about giving money to people as opposed to corporations. And number three, give everyone healthcare. Because people have been getting bills for going to the hospital for $200,000 to $3 million. I've seen one for $3.1 million for getting coronavirus treatment.
I had a friend who recently went in for just a test and $1,200 bill.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we do those, and I get it, I understand the need to work because as soon as COVID hit, the main outlet that I write for shut down, and I had just submitted a 5,000 word article that I get paid by the word on, and I have not seen that payment. So I had to change my business model when this all started. I live in a house full of musicians. They all had their gigs canceled. I'm not looking at people who were like, but I need to work and going, you just don't care about humanity. I'm looking at the people who were like, I need to work, but fuck you. I won't wear a face mask and go, you don't care about humanity. That's a problem. So it's like we could.
The masks are a
fucking. So you really think they should continue to quarantine if, let's say, you're here in Florida and you're 30 and healthy and you know that we have not had one death? We shouldn't have to quarantine. We haven't had
There have been infant deaths. There have been deaths in their 20s. There have been deaths in their 30s.
But not here in Florida.
You think that lungs work differently in Florida than they do elsewhere? You haven't had it there yet.
I mean, and here's the thing.
But they're all over the age of 65, which clearly shows.
Lot of the new cases in Florida and Texas have been people from the age of 18 to 36. That's what it was so alarming.
They're not even going to the hospital.
People are sick for people are sick for 2 months after getting this and need to be on supplemental oxygen or get lung transplants. There was a 20-something-year-old who needed a lung transplant from this.
Right, but statistically, and she was healthy. Those are not the norm. That is not the norm.
Yes, but you're making it sound like this doesn't happen. So it's even death is rare no matter what in this, but there are people who are getting sick for a long, long, long time. And don't say that it's fine for people who are 30 and healthy to go out and get this when they can spread it to other people in their community. The people who take care of older people are people my age. And so, yes, they're going to spread it. You can't separate out all the young and healthy people from the older and sicker people in society. So, yeah, social distancing is one of very few things that is shown to help and work. And I'm not saying that everyone has to be in a hermetically sealed suit, but I am saying that just saying that this is fine, that because the CDC has been wrong before, we can disregard all of their information and that we have to act as though we have no info on this. When we do, we know that certain situations are worse for spreading this and we should probably avoid those. And we know that certain situations are a little easier and we can probably start continuing those again. So I think that we can act with a little bit more of a scalpel than with a hatchet than we were before. But let's not throw off all the guardrails on this because we're tired of being at home. I'm tired of being at home too. But I also don't think that this is an excuse to turn this into a major disaster for our people who are old and have underlying conditions.
And if that, feel free to please correct me if I'm wrong, but what we're also often, thank you. But what we're also often seeing is people within their 30s and 40s who are either asymptomatic or pre-symptomatic, where months later that we're seeing lung scarring. And frankly, the fact is we don't know that if in 5, 10, 15 years, they're going to have a substantial amount of damage. I mean, think about your life being cut short by 10 to 20 years because you had COVID, you never went to the hospital, you didn't know. And yet because of COVID, you know, when you received, when you got it in your 30s, you know, is now substantially impacting your life later on in your 50s, 60s. And that's what we're going through right now. And the fact is that no one is going to the hospital on a daily basis and checking, hey, how are my lungs doing today? Because this is not the system we're set up for realistically. Yeah. But the thing is, it is impacting people's lungs. And we do have evidence of that. And we do have evidence of
half of the asymptomatic. Half of the asymptomatic cases are showing up with ground glass opacity, that that inflammation and damage in their lungs. So even if you don't feel anything, your lungs do.
And that's the most concerning part.
Doesn't that mean that you're not asymptomatic then? That would be a symptom.
It means that you have subclinical symptoms. So you don't feel that, like, the scariest thing with this. So I bought a pulse oximeter for my house because we have 10 people living here, including the bassist for the Bengals. And she is, I'm like, she needs those lungs to keep working because she is also a singer in the Bengals. Anyways,
Bengals.
What?
Love the Bengals.
Many cats. She's, it's Annette Zelenska. So I'm always going to screw up the pronunciation on her last name, but she's a great bass player. But she's very paranoid about getting sick. But we, I got a pulse ox for the house and it can tell you your oxygen saturation. One of the scariest things that happens with us, the way that people get into trouble with it, is a situation called, you might've heard the term cytokine storm or ARDS kicking around, where basically, your body, kicks into high gear, or your immune system kicks into high gear and it starts attacking not just the virus, but your lungs too, and it starts attacking lung tissue, and you're sitting around fine, and all of a sudden you can't breathe, and we have these people going to the hospital with a case called silent hypoxia or happy hypoxics, because they can't tell, they can't breathe, they don't feel that they're drowning, basically. So I bought an oximeter so you can see, we can check our O2 saturation. I recommend getting one just so that you don't suddenly realize, oh crap, you go to the hospital feeling fine until all of a sudden you have no symptoms other than an oxygen saturation of 80, which is terrifying. And this is the thing that's been happening to people. That's how this thing gets you, is feeling fine until suddenly you're really not fine, and your kidneys have taken substantial damage because of you've had such low oxygen saturation. So this thing is this virus is a fucker.
Send me yours, yo. Send me the one you bought your house.
It's come over and get your, come, it's, I'll stick it out the door so we can socially distant and check you.
You have me come over. I'm on my way, guys.
I'll roll you a joint so we don't have to swap fluids.
If that, have you considered being an influencer, aka an Instagram model for oximeters?
It's please get your pulse please get your oxygen levels checked regularly at this. It's stick your finger into this baby.
Yeah.
Check your oxygen with me.
Put the O2 out of her.
We can make this very ASMR. I want you to check your oxygen levels. It'll be good.
Yeah,
we're
right
for
down
you.
My spine, girl.
Wow. I just, and I mean, here's the thing. And so I want to tell you, Kristen, like, I get what you're saying. I totally do. Like, it is fucked up what's happening with our economy, and people need to earn money. Like, I see it in my house, but it's like, this virus is, and because of the amount of misinformation that's been out in the media, I see why people don't trust it. But I really hope that people will try to find those better science journalists that are writing about the science that's happening and not writing the headlines about the science. So I hope that people can lean into that a bit more.
It's, I never read headlines, and I social distance. I'm just more, you know.
I get you. I feel you. I wanted you to know that I wasn't saying that to be like mad. I like you. I wanted you to know that.
Like, if your business was open up right now, Kristen, like, how would you deal with this whole quarantine thing? Would you
have no money
working? Antibodies?
No way. No.
I would have my antibody girl still out there working.
Yeah.
You can't catch the damn thing. Get out there and make my money.
$5,000 per hour starting for one antibody. You want more than one antibody? That where we can talk later.
This girl is recovered from COVID. She will spit into your mouth for $10,000.
I got some Japanese businessman who like that right now.
Extra for the antibodies.
This is
she'll lick directly into your asshole. with those good COVID antibodies.
Those assholes are known COVID spreaders. You know.
Oh no! I wanted to put a tongue in my ass like the antidotes in it.
You know, I love that New York City basically came out as a cool aunt in all of this and was like, hey, here's what you're allowed to do sex-wise. Yeah, don't eat ass at the moment. Hold off on that.
You heard the whole Bronx go like this. Oh.
Andrew Cuomo just said, please jerk off.
Yeah, I did. I met a girl over the weekend who said that she was hooking up with someone who was like slightly risky because he would fly every once in a while to see his kids in another state. And so because he's traveling, they fuck, but she doesn't let him kiss her. And that, no masks also, condoms, that is her COVID compromise.
Oh my God.
It's also the name of the problem.
Oh my God.
He's a wild
Kristen, if you ever, if somehow brothels ever became lethal, I am there with like spacesuit fucking. So how can we moon man this?
This is glory hole territory.
It is glory
hole. Yes, this is what the glory hole is.
Bring back the glory hole.
You know, the CDC came out on the side of glory holes and they were like, contactless through a board sex is fine.
Or how the Orthodox do it through a sheet.
I was about to say, the Hasidics have been doing it right for years. We should have known.
See, this is why we're God's chosen people. And society has been treating us like it all this time, too.
All this time.
You guys want to do some pluggy plugs? Kristen, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram or Twitter at Manhattan Madam. And they can also go to the Stone Defense Fund and contribute for Roger's appeal.
Yes.
Yes. We want Roger to stay home, man. We don't need him going into that corona box.
Nope.
Yeah. Alice?
You can find me and Yvette talking about porn and science on twogirlsonmike.com, Two Girls on Mike the Porncast. You can find me, though, on Twitter at Rational Blonde.
Rational Blonde. And on that episode, I'm on y'all show next week, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. You're going to be reviewing some Jurassic Park porn with us, hon.
Jurassic Park porn. That's right. Yvette?
You guys can find me at The SciBabe on Twitter and Instagram and over on Facebook at facebook.com/SciBabe, where I am sciencey and occasionally snarky.
Nice. I like it. I'm going to let it tongue in cheek. White Daughter?
You can find me online, Twitter, Insta, Karen Margolis, KerenMargolis. We are The Race Wars Podcast on Instagram, just Race Wars Podcast on Twitter. You can find us on there. We put episodes and clips up on YouTube. So find us on YouTube, check out our Patreon, and look out for my show, Nerdgasm, on Compound Media. New episodes coming out soon.
That's right. What a great episode, ladies. You guys are really informative, smart, funny, and didn't annoy me. Huh?
It's being told I wasn't playing is the best compliment I can receive.
You're welcome.
It's what we aspire to, at least what I aspire to, so I wouldn't annoy my parents. But so maybe this is a daddy issue. Sorry.
We do have daddy issues, so this was a great compliment for us.
Make sure you check out Small Ball, my sports comedy podcast on Embassy Row. It's available on Apple Music and Spotify. And yeah, it's been a great episode of Race Wars. You guys had fun, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Ladies.
Thanks,
Lawrence.
Ladies.
Thank you, all you beautiful ladies. And
yes, love you guys.
And man.
Thank you, madam. Yeah. Y'all have a great night. Take care.
You too. You guys.
Bye. Race Wars.
Bye.
Bye.
Race Wars.